Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Genco Solar fourth quarter and full year 2016 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, the 27th of February, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Sebastian Liu, Investor Relations Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for today's Genco Solar fourth quarter 2016 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on the news wires services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR's website. On the call today from Jinko Solar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Jenna Miao, VP Global Sales and Marketing, and Sebastian Liu, IR Director. Mr. Chen will discuss Jinko Solar's business, operations, and company's highlights, followed by Mr. Jenna Miao, who will talk about sales and marketing, and Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Security Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in Jinko Solar's public filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Jinko Solar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under applicable law. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of Jinko Solar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢沙文，各位早上晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
我很高兴地宣布，公司本季度以优异表现为全年的业绩收官。第四季度总收入达到7.376亿美元，全年总收入达到30.8亿美元。四季度组件出货量达到1733兆瓦，全年达到6656兆瓦，稳居全球最大光伏组件制造商。尽管 ASP 在第四季度下降幅度较大，本季度毛利率仍维持在14.3%。相比2016年三季度制造业毛利率19.2%。
I'm pleased to announce another strong quarter to finish out the year. Total revenue in Q4 hits $737.6 million and $3.08 billion for the whole year. Module shipments were 1,733 megawatts in the fourth quarter and 6,656 megawatts for the full year, which puts us firmly in the position as the largest module supplier globally. Gross margin was 14.3% compared with 19.2% from manufacturing of last quarter, despite the sharp decline in ASPs in Q4.
我们成功完成了金科电力电站业务的分拆。通过分拆，金科能源在四季度确认了1.452亿美元的投资收益，并将债务由21亿美元降至8.92亿美元，极大改善了资产负债表。本月在可转债持有人申请后，我们基本完成了2019年到期的可转债回购，进一步降低了债务水平。
We successfully completed the spin-off process of Jinko Power's project business, which generates $145.2 million in investment gain for Jinko Solar, and strengthened our balance sheet by cutting debt to $892 million, from about $2.1 billion. During this month, we further cut our debt by repurchasing almost all of our convertible notes due in 2019 at holders' put option.
监委会在稍后为大家详细介绍市场情况。我在此强调几点：本季度中国市场需求保持强劲，预计增长势头将延续至2017年上半年。 动力主要来自于2016年底宣布的地面电涨新增配额，以及2017年6月份补贴削减之前的抢装潮。我们预计今年下半年国内需求将放缓，但并不会出现许多人担心的断崖式下跌。分布式项目和领跑者项目将有力支撑下半年的市场需求。我们认为中国市场今年将保持30吉瓦的规模。美国市场方面，我们注意到 ASP 在第四季度急剧下降后已开始企稳，虽然政治因素可能为美国可再生能源的前景带来一些不确定性，但我们认为这不会显著改变美国市场的正常轨迹，特别是在 ITC 仍然有效的情况下，来自印度的需求持续超出我们的预期，当地充足的日照和强劲的电力需求继续为印度市场的快速增长创造条件。我们对印度市场巨大的潜力保持乐观，并一直在扩大印度团队的规模。同时，我们要巩固了拉丁美洲和中东这两个市场充满机遇的市场的领先地位。
And I'd like to generally go over the market situation in further detail later, but there are a few things I'd like to highlight. Demand in China was strong during the quarter, with growth momentum expected to continue during the first half of 2017.Due to rush orders coming in before the fee cut in June and additional quota for utility project announced in the year end of 2016. We expect to see demand during the later part of the year to decline, but will not nosedive as many have expressed concerns about. Distributed generation and top runner project will provide strong support for the market demand in the second half of the year. We now see China this year will remain a 30 plus gigawatt market.Looking at the U.S., we are seeing ASPs begin to stabilize after the sharp decline in Q4. Although political factors may create some uncertainties for the future prospects of renewable energy in the U.S., we don't believe it will significantly alter the growth trajectory of the U.S. market, especially with the ITC still rallying. Demand from India continue to beat our expectations.Adequate sunlight and strong demand for power continue to create ideal market conditions for the rapid growth in India. We're optimistic about its great potential and have been expanding our team. We also reinforce our leading position in Latin America and Middle East, two markets full of opportunities.
市场对公司高效产品的需求，特别是 POC 产品的保持强劲趋势。考虑到这一点，我们从2016年上半年以来就开始调整产能，以适应市场的变化。我们目前单晶硅片产能达到1吉瓦，后个电子产能约为 1.4 吉瓦，并计划在年底将单晶硅片产能提高到3吉瓦，后个电子产能提高到2吉瓦。总产能方面，截止到2016年12月31日，规定的硅片产能达到 5.0 吉瓦，电子片产能达到 4.0 吉瓦。组件产能达到约 6.5 吉瓦，到2017年年底，产能预计将分别达到7吉瓦、4.5 吉瓦和8吉瓦。
Demand for our high efficiency products, especially our PERC products, continue to be strong. With this in mind, we have begun to adjust our production capacity to accommodate market shift since the first half of 2016.We now have 1 gigawatt in wafer capacity and about 1.4 gigawatts of PERC cell capacity, and plan to increase our mono wafer capacity to 3 gigawatts and PERC cell capacity to 2 gigawatts by the end of the year. For our total capacity, as of December 31, 2016, we have 5 gigawatts for silicon ingots and wafers, 4 gigawatts for solar cells, and 6.5 gigawatts for solar modules.And it is scheduled to reach 7 gigawatts, 4.5 gigawatts, and 8 gigawatts respectively by the end of the year.
技术方面，公司始终专注于高效技术和质量控制。除了之前提到的 POC 产品，公司使用 MCT 释放黑硅技术的电池也开始量产。作为全球行业领先者，公司一直坚持质量优先于数量。通过实施最严格的行业质量标准，公司将继续为客户提供最优质、可靠的高效产品。
On the technology front, we remain focused on high-efficiency technologies and quality control. In addition to our PERC products, as I mentioned before, our MCT-processed black silicon cells also began mass production. As a global leader in the industry, we have always placed quality above quantity with the implementation of the industry's most stringent production standards, and we will continue to provide our customer the highest quality, most reliable, and high-efficiency products.
最 后， 我对本季度及全年公司所取得的业绩感到骄傲。尽管行业面临挑 战， 但我们预计2017年的全球需求将比去年更为强劲，未来的竞争将是全方位的竞 争， 并会更加激烈。但我相信公司专注于技术研发、品牌价值、成本优化和财务实力的战 略， 将使我们保持行业领先地 位， 并进一步提升股东价值。
In conclusion, I'm proud of what we have achieved this quarter and the year. With the market sufficient headwinds, we expect global demand in 2017 will be stronger than 2016. Competition will intensify and will be comprehensive in the future. With our strategy focusing on technology, brand equity, cost structure, and financial strength, I'm confident that we'll maintain our leading position and further drive shareholders value.
话题交给 Janet 之 前， 我来介绍一下2017年第一季度和全年业绩指引。2017年第一季 度， 公司组件出货量预计在1.9到2吉瓦之间。2017年全年组件出货量预计将在8.5到9吉瓦之间。
Before turning to the call over to Jenna, I will quickly go over the guidance. The company estimates total solar module shipment to be in the range of 1.9-2 gigawatts for the first quarter and 8.5-9 gigawatts for the full year 2017.
接下来我将话题交给 Jenna。
With that, I will turn the call over to Jenna.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. I'm happy to report a strong finish to the year in which we shipped a total of 1,733 megawatts of modules during the fourth quarter and 6,656 megawatts for the entire year. During the year, we retained our leading position as the largest solar module supplier worldwide and increased our market share in several key solar markets. During the quarter, we continued to balance our geographic distribution, which is composed of 40% shipment to China, 24% to Asia Pacific, 19% to North America, 10% to emerging markets, and 7% to Europe. Looking at the full year, we shipped to 1,040 customers in 78 countries. Total module shipment for the year increased 47.5% over 2015. This includes 2,518 megawatts to China, 1,982 megawatts to North America, 769 megawatts to the Asia Pacific region, 582 megawatts to emerging markets, and 374 megawatts to Europe. We are optimistic about global market demand in 2017 and expect to further increase shipments and our market share in key markets. Q4 demand in China was strong, retaining its position as our largest market. We expect this momentum will continue as a result of extra project quotas and the rush orders coming in before the FIT cut in June 2017. While demand may begin to decrease after that, we expect it to be a lot better than current market sentiment, given that many distributed generation projects and most top brand programs should begin to kick in and make up for the demand during the second half of the year. As Mr. Chen just said, China could be a 30 gigawatt or above market again this year, and we anticipate demand from above two initiatives in the second half alone will account for above 8 gigawatts. In the U.S. market, while there was a relatively sharp decline in ASP during the fourth quarter, it is now currently stabilizing, and we expect demand to pick up again in the second half. While policy uncertainties have created some clouds to the direction of the U.S. renewable energy market, but we believe that solar growth momentum in U.S. is irreversible, and the impact will be limited. We are also further diversifying our presence there as we shift more towards the distribution segment. In Asia Pacific region, aside from the traditional markets such as Japan, Australia's utility scale market shows a great growth potential and is expected to reach a gigawatt level in the coming years. India has become one of the biggest solar markets in the world, with demand exceeding market expectations. Strong power demand and declining solar costs are the two main drivers here. We are optimistic about the great potential of the Indian market and implemented a long-term strategy there, along with expanding local team to capture those opportunities. Turning to the emerging markets, we maintain and will expand our leading market share in South America key markets such as Mexico, Brazil, and Chile with our partners there. The Middle East market has begun to develop growth opportunities since last year, especially the UAE. Our team is also well prepared to increase our brand recognition on African continents. With the strong support from the President of South Africa, it is still the largest market across the continent. Meanwhile, Egypt is also showing great potential. ASPs during the quarter came in at $0.41, compared with $0.49 in the third quarter. Full year ASP came around $0.50. We expect the ASPs to decline in a small range in the first quarter of 2017. Moving to marketing and branding, we attended 15 exhibitions worldwide during the quarter. A number of them were in Latin America, which demonstrates our market leadership in the region. In October, we participated in All Energy Exhibition in Melbourne, Australia, which is the largest solar trade show in the region. In addition, we sponsored nearly 20 conferences where our local teams giving presentations, organized two customer events, 15 customer trainings, 13 roadshows, and 45 co-marketing activities with key distributors or partners across the world. We hosted a global technical symposium in Shanghai, inviting 550 industry professionals and scientists from leading global PV institutions, organizations, and universities, and showcased the three newly launched products. We further strengthened our leading position and brand value and recognition worldwide by participating in those events. On the PR side, we have published over 6,000 articles online. In addition, major industry media have published an exclusive interview with our senior management. Also, we are honored to be appointed as a co-chair of B20 ECRE, which indicates Energy, Climate, and the Resource Efficiency Task Force. In addition, we have been ranked the number 16 in the world's 100 fast-growing companies by Future Magazine. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Charlie, who will go over our financial results of the quarter.
Thank you, Taylor. I'd like to walk you through our Q4 2016 and annual results. Let me draw your attention to our financial statements. Because of the sale of Jinko Power, its financial results are reported in discontinued operation according to accounting standards. So all the numbers I will share with you are based on ongoing operation basis, including the comparatives, unless indicated otherwise. In the fourth quarter, total solar module shipments were 1.7 gigawatts, up 8% sequentially, and up 1% year over year. Total revenue was $738 million, down 4% sequentially and down 14% year over year. Gross margin was 14.3% compared to 19.2% in Q3 and 19% in Q4 2015. The sequential decrease was due to the decline of module price. We are on the track to cut the production cost. The blended cost reached to 35 cents per watt in the fourth quarter. The operating expense represented 12.7% of total revenue compared to 11.1% in Q3 and 11.2% in Q4 2015. EBITDA from continuing operation was $44 million compared to $85 million in Q3 and $111 million in Q4 2015. Net income from continuing operation was $21 million. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of 68 cents and 64 cents, respectively. Non-GAAP net income from continuing operation was $33 million. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.04. Now, I'll briefly review our full year 2016 financial results. We concluded our 2016 with total solar module shipments of 6.7 gigawatts, up 48% year over year. Total revenue was $3.1 billion, up 39% year over year. Gross margin was 18.1% compared to 19% in 2015. Operating expense was 11.8% of total revenue compared to 11.7% in 2015. EBITDA from continuing operation was $331 million compared to $239 million in 2015. Net income from continuing operation was $143 million compared to $118 million in 2015. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $4.52 and $4.20, respectively. Non-GAAP net income from continuing operation was $179 million compared to $163 million in 2015. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $5.72 and $5.24, respectively. Now, let's move to the balance sheet. By the end of Q4, cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash were $460 million. The total debt was reduced to $892 million, and the net debt was $486 million. The company's working capital improved to $192 million. At this moment, we're happy to take your questions. Operator. Operator.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, as a reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Mandeep Mandola from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mahip Mandloi from Credit Suisse. Thanks for taking my question. Just looking at the capacity guidance of 8 gigawatts and shipment guidance of 8.5 to 9 gigawatts, would you be buying panels from spot market or have you already contracted it to any panel OEM manufacturer? And would it be mono or multi? Any color would be appreciated.
In terms of the capacity expansion, we have planned to invest on the high efficiency capacity, particularly for the mono wafer capacity. The key investments in 2017 include 2 gigawatts mono wafer capacity and 600 megawatts per capacities. And we think, you know, the high efficiency module is in supply shortage, and the market for the high efficiency products are expected to increase step by step in the next year. So that is why we make the strategic decision to invest on the mono per capacities.
Yeah, Madhiv, this is Jenner. Just one more comment from me. Actually, if you're looking into the capacity expansion, we have more wafer compared with the cell. And actually, the cell we are making, we find OEMs to help us to convert our wafer into a cell and manufacture it into module.
Thanks. And as you look at the 2017 guidance, how much of it is already booked? And how much of it includes shipments to Mexico or your international projects in the year?
Okay, so for the order book, actually, we are happy to see for the first half, we are almost fully booked. And for the second half, we are around, let's say, one-third of order book has been occupied. And regarding your question regarding the shipment to our international investments, I think the total number compared with our total shipment will be pretty small. I think will be around, let's say, less than 10%, maybe single digit, around 5 to 5% of the total shipment. So.
Got that. That's helpful. And last question from me, and I'll jump back into the queue. Around your expectations for ASP and cost reductions for the year, any color would be appreciated.
Yeah, I will answer your question regarding ASPs. And for the ASP, we are seeing the market become stabilizing, especially given the strong pull-in demand in the first half of China, which impacts the global market quite a lot. So for the first half, we see only a small, let's say, change compared with the AS market price, compared about what we have in the Q4. And for the second half, people are expecting the market price decline sharply, like what happened in last year. However, personally, I still take a conservative approach on that, because lots of let's say top runner program and also this DG project in China will happen in second half. The demand will not be as weak as people are expecting. So I still think that there will be around, let's say, 10 to 15% drop in the second half, not as big as what happened last year.
On the cost side, we are going to keep our leading cost positions. And we target to cut the long second cost by 8% to 10%. We estimate the total blended cost will reach to 30 cents to 31 cents by the end of 2016, compared to the 35 cents by the blended cost by the end of last year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
We will now take our next question from Philip Chen from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the questions. I'd like to explore the ASPs a little bit more. I just want to confirm that you said Q1 ASP should be similar to Q4, and if so, can you put a number on that on a blended basis? And then as a follow-up to ASPs, is it true that, based on some of the checks that we're doing, we're seeing ASPs in China between 36 and 38 cents for kind of plain multi. That compares to global ASPs kind of between 32 and 35. Are you starting to see a disparity in global pricing where Chinese ASP pricing could be actually higher than rest of world? This is probably the first time I've seen this in my time following the industry, but that's an interesting dynamic, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. I agree with this, Jenna. So sexual input, actually, we have seen the similar thing. However, from our order book, or what we have in our order book, we have seen a pretty, actually, aligned market price. What we have for the first half for AST, for the first half, the number we got is pretty aligned with what you have from the market, which would be around, let's say, 37 to 39, let's say high 30 range, let's say between 37 and 39. And for the market price, your observation are pretty sharp. Actually, China market price are slightly higher than some, let's say, highly competitive market. However, if you take the overall global price, I think it's pretty aligned, because the China market price payment term are slightly different from what we have from other markets. So if we combine all these factors together, the market price are pretty aligned. From what the orders and this contracts we have, no matter it's Chinese or non-Chinese, the numbers are kind of close to each other as well.
Phil, this is Sebastian. I just have one point to add. So the ASP we just mentioned, we just talked about, it's just you know, probably average multi-high efficiency product. But remember that we have more and more shipments of mono PERC, which definitely will help increase our ASP as well.
Okay, that's definitely helpful. You know, so as we think about margins, can you share what your expectations might be for Q1 and Q2?
In terms of gross margin, we estimate the gross margin is relatively stable and in a range of 12% to 15%. The high polysilicon price did put some, you know, pressures on the gross margin, but we are taking our efforts to cut the non-silicon cost.
Okay, great. I believe in your prepared remarks you talked about China overall demand being around 30 gigawatts. Can you confirm that? And also in the back half, you know, the demand would be closer to 8. Can you talk about, you know, what Q3 demand might be if you have that? And I think you mentioned that ASPs might drop about 10-ish percent sequentially between the back half and the first half. So if you, yeah, just talk about China in general, and thank you.
Yeah. Okay, for China, as Ms. Chen just said, and we are pretty, in the company internally, we are pretty aligned for the China demand will continue to be strong in 2017. So first half is mainly driven by all these, let's say, last-minute rushing orders from all the permits which got this quota from the previous year and which has not finished the construction yet. Meanwhile, it will pull in all these guys for the DG project who needs this, like 100% selling their electricity to the grid. Such kind of demand adding up together, we believe will be more than 20 gigawatts only in the first half. For the second half, China demand are mainly driven, or is mainly driven by this top runner program. Meanwhile, the self-consumption, the DG projects, because given people are expecting a price, let's say, drop after this rushing hour, and if the system drops a little, even a little, the self-consumption DG projects IR will be very attractive. So there, it will accelerate more and more demand from that part. Meanwhile, the top runner program is a fixed number. We can see around 5 gigawatts. If you, from the central government to provincial level, adding up together, it will be around 5.5 to 6 gigawatts total. So adding up all this demand together, it comes to our number. We believe second half demand will be more than 8 gigawatts. Plus the first half, 20 gigawatt, the total number will be more than, let's say, 30 gigawatt.
Okay, well, one last question here, and I'll pass it on. You know, a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, the NEA announced that they see only about 18 gigawatts of interconnections in 2017 in China. And I think they talked about 20 gigawatts as as a number for construction. How does that kind of foot relative to your expectations of closer to 30 gigawatts? Does that number not include the top runner program or the poverty alleviation program, or does it actually include it?
Yeah, the poverty is something not included into NEA's announcement. Actually, if you look into all the wording into detail, you will see they add additional sentence after they talking about this 20 gigawatts. There will be additional amount for this poverty program. That's one thing. Another thing is NEA announcement. The number is their plan for 2016 plus 2016 permitted newly permitted project. Actually, historically speaking, there are still lots of, let's say, projects which has not finished the construction due to different kind of reasons, such as limited of the land, availability of the grid connection, etc. After several years, and also because of such a huge cut for the feed-in tariff, and it will pull them in the first half. So adding up all the things together, it will go to beyond 30 gigawatts, we believe. Actually, that's pretty aligned from what happened in 2016, if you compare what is the announcement by the beginning of the year from the NEA, and what is the final number announced by year end from the NEA.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Charlie. And
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Brad Mikkel from Craig-Hallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. So for OpEx, how much do you think the total will decline, you know, following the sale of the Jinko Power business?
So you're talking about operating expenses, right?
Yeah.
Operating expenses, we look into 2017, we still are seeing operating leverage, and we estimate it's in the range of 10% to 11% of total revenue.
Right. And can you add more color in terms of, you know, your top line guidance for 8.5 to 9 gigawatts is a big number. Can you talk more about what type of geographies you see being strong in the second half of this year?
Well, so first half, yeah, sure. For first half, you know, obviously the demand mainly driven, global demand is driven by China. Meanwhile, we have seen, for the second half, we have seen this U.S. demand will kick in after this development cycle finish. More and more project demand will happen by the starting from second half from North American market. Meanwhile, Japan market still have some pretty obvious demand. There's another new emerging market coming up as a, let's say, 5 gigawatt plus market, which will be the India market. And also there are some new countries which is not a, let's say, typical strong demand country, which will kick in for the first second half, such as some Middle East country, African country, and even Australia.
Thanks. And what do you think your depreciation CapEx will be this year?
For the total CapEx, we estimate it's in a range of $400 million to $500 million. And, you know, we discussed the capacity expansion plan. And the key investment is on the model wafer, PERC, and module capacities.
So for depreciation, I think it will be similar to 2016, not a big change.
Yeah. I think compared to fourth quarter, it should be 2017, it should be a little bit higher because we invest on the, you know, $400 million to $500 million CapEx this year.
Great, thanks. And just last question, it seems like there's a bit of a standoff in terms of some orders not having been placed for the second half yet, and some customers thinking the pricing would come down to the low 30s, and obviously you seem to be seeing a little more strength in that. Can you just speak to, you know, what the order dynamic is out there? And you know, I think customers always seem to think that pricing will go down, you know, forever, and you know, do you think that in general the lack of expansion of polysilicon across the industry going forward is going to lead to more rational pricing environment? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So I will give a response on that. So for this global demand versus supply side, I think for solar market, people always say, you know, up and down all time long. That's pretty the nature of the business. However, if we look into, let's say, midterm in 6 months or 10 months' time, we see more and more reasonable investors and customers kicking in into the industry. Because if we look into all these investors, it's really IR-based and IR-based investors who are needs, let's say, stable and stable supply and a stable commitment for their investment in next coming 8 or even 10 months time. In that case, as long as the company can provide such, let's say, share such philosophy and provide such commitment to such investors and customers. And I think everyone will join such partnership to make the business more strategic and in the long term. And that's why we have seen lots of orders have come in, not only for the second half, even for 2018, because we have the confidence to fulfill such contract together. And meanwhile, the customers and the investor side, they can reach their IRR expectations based on such financial model. So we are working into the win-win solution. That's given this a partnership we have together with our partners. Meanwhile, for the whole industry, we are sharing the same philosophy with our suppliers, no matter it's polysilicon or other suppliers as well, to make sure we can join a win-win solution instead of cutting throat competitions, price wars, or number games.
Right? Yep, thanks very much.
We will now take our next question from Yang Yang from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, management team. I have two questions first. So for the tax benefit booked in the fourth quarter, so what's the nature on this? And the second question is, due to the fast decline module price since third quarter last year, has the company seen any supply side consolidation recently?
Regarding your first question, tax benefit, we did recognize some benefit in the fourth quarter because while our significant subsidiary in China successfully renewed the high technology certificate, which will enjoy 15% corporate income tax compared to 25%. So we did some kind of true-up adjustment in the fourth quarter. In terms of supply consolidations, you know, we think the tier two, tier three companies are under pressure, you know, to deliver the qualities to meet the customer demand. And so far, because of China demand is pretty strong, so we didn't see, you know, significant pressures for the tier two, tier three companies to consolidate with the tier one companies. But you know, because of the most of the tier two, tier three companies, they are working under the OEM capacities, under OEM capacities for the tier one companies. So we are saying they are very cautious on expanding the capacity.
Yes, and yeah, this is Sebastian, and also you can say that. To be honest, especially in the past year, then the technology is developing very fast. It's very hard for the tier two and tier three players to catch up with the you know, the R&D investments and also the latest technology as tier one has. So with the limited opportunities of consolidation. So far, especially you know, with our current leading technology, but you know, as Charlie said, and now I also see lots of tier two and tier three players are working as the OEM. If we can have a very stringent and quality control.
Okay, thank you. So I have two follow-up questions. So for the you just mentioned for the total blended cost, it will be reduced to 30 to 31 cents. So what's the driver for this cost reduction? And in addition, so what's the margin difference between mono and multi waffles? And also by applying the brick technology. So that's it.
First, I just have one point to add, and Charlie will go to detail. So 13 to 31, it's our estimation, but very conservative estimation. So I think definitely, and you know, we are very confident to achieve that by the year end.
Yeah, I think it's a couple different initiatives from the company side. We are working with our suppliers to lower the material input cost. And we invest a lot of efforts and energy on the R&D and technology improvements. And the efficiency improvement is one of the key areas, and plus production efficiency and the improvement of automatic production levels. Regarding the margin difference between the multi and mono, currently the price for the mono perk modules, the price is 10% to 15% higher than the multi, and the cost is only about 8% to 10% higher than the multi. So we estimate, you know, the mono perk, the module gross margin is higher than the multi. Again, we are investing a lot of money on the mono wafers, and we will ramp our mono perk module capacities step by step this year, which will help us to improve our gross margin.
Yes, and this question is a little bit misleading because, in fact, we are comparing mono perk to multi, not just mono to multi. I just want to point that.
Okay, thank you, management. That's all my questions. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Paul Stringler from Espalada. Please go ahead.
Good evening, guys. Just a question on your guidance. So it looks like for Q1, you're guiding up about 20% year over year, plus or minus. But for the full year, you're guiding up closer to 30%. How do you expect a trajectory of shipments to sort of shift over the year? And the reason I ask that is you guys specifically didn't fall off a cliff in Q3 of last year. Looks like shipments were down about 5 to 10% sequentially from Q2. So I guess how do you build to that 8.5-ish gigawatt number when Q1 is, you know, growing but not surely at the run rate you would need to sort of hit that year-end target?
Yeah, so this is Jeff. So if you take the first quarter at 2 gigawatts, you need to think 2 gigawatts around numbers. That you have to take the Chinese holiday as a consideration, because the China demand together with this production, the workers, laborers, they are in long vacations, like what happened in Christmas, so barely people work, so that will occupy even more than half a month in the February. And I believe with the strong demand in China, I think that we would like to see a much stronger demand, not only for Jinko, but for the whole industry from the Q2 until this end of the first half. That will, that will help the company to finish the annual target.
Okay, and then just in terms of the Chinese market specifically, so I don't know if it was the NEA or what organization in China announced a pilot program for renewable energy credits in 2017, but that in 2018 we may move to a full renewable energy credit program. How do you think that impacts demand specifically for larger projects in 2018, and do you think that could cause a rush in the back half of the year as folks try to lock in a feed-in tariff for their projects, even if they won't get paid anytime soon, at least they can lock in that guarantee? Do you think that could cause some negative impacts to 2018?
I think you are talking about the green certificate, right? China is...
Yeah,
China is aiming to launch the program in the second half year in 2017. It's still in the detailed implementation guidance is still in the early stage, but we believe it's positive for the industry and as well as for the project returns. After the implementation of the green certificate, we expect it's going to improve the operating cash flows for the China projects. But again, I think the detailed implementation is still in the early stage, and we are going to see how the government is to implement the policies, particularly at this stage for the green certificate is not mandatory. And a lot of experts are in discussion with government on how to implement the mandatory systems for the in China in the future.
Mm-hmm. And then one just housekeeping question. So I looked at a couple surveys last week, and it looked like polysilicon prices actually ticked down or certainly stopped going up for the first time in a while last week. Are you guys seeing any sort of flattening or softening in the poly market, which actually would benefit you?
I think the poly price now is $17, $18. It's stable. And we estimate it's going to in the downward, maybe in the middle of the next in the second quarter. And again, we are seeing a lot of room for poly producers to cut their price, and their blended cost is below $10 per kilo. And now it's the market price is $16, $17.
Great. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome.
As a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take a follow-up question from Brad Mikkel from Craig-Hallum Capital. Please.
Hey, guys. So what's your estimate of global demand for 2017 and 2018, and I guess with the solid, 400 or 500 million of CapEx, that's a lot of investment for the following years. So can you add more color in terms of your feel on 2018 demand and the balance of supply demand, and whether there's going to be pricing leverage, and how you see the overall margins trending for the industry? Obviously, it's been a challenging few years. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. From the global demand side, we believe 2017, compared with 2016, 17 will definitely be another strong year. And for 2018, from what we have seen, the demand will continue to be strong. Maybe the increase will not as big as what's happening between 2016 or 2017, but still we believe the market demand will continue to going up a little bit. In that case, meanwhile, actually, there's another, let's say, expectation from the industry that the gap between tier 1 and tier 2 will become bigger. So it means that for the top supplier or top player in this industry will increase their market share across this 2 to 3 years time. Meanwhile, the smaller guys may suffer even further. For the ASP side, actually, we see the solar industry, actually the demand needs from the PPA of the global market that we have seen, the request to keep this like the module price, even the system cost, continue to decrease is a trend which cannot change. Actually, that's the nature of the solar industry. However, we have seen the in the short term, we have seen because of the say policy driven short term rushing hour, we have seen the ASPs become kind of stable in the short term. That's my view. Margin.
In terms of gross margin, you're right. I think the tier one companies is under pressure, at this stage because of the high polysilicon price, and we believe the overall supply chain will back to normal standards in the second half year, and we continue to invest on the high technology and to lower the module cost. And we are comfortable, and we can deliver very healthy profitabilities and the operating cash flows.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions in the queue, I would now like to turn the call back to Sebastian for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. So on behalf of the entire Jingle Source management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on the call. If you have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. Have a good day and a good evening. Thank you and goodbye.
That will conclude today's Jenko Solar fourth quarter and full year 2016 earnings conference call. Thank you for your participation. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect.